Good morning. We will call the March 1st, 2023 Board of Directors meeting of the Eastern Municipal Water District to order. We always start out with our Pledge of Allegiance. Director Record, would you like to lead us this morning in our Pledge of Allegiance?
I'd be happy to. Please join me in a salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I would like to, at this time, ask our Board Secretary if she would read the rules for virtual participation in our meeting and then take a roll call vote of the Board, please.
Absolutely. To avoid creating acoustic feedback, please mute all your devices during the meeting unless you are speaking. Before speaking, please unmute your device and turn down the volume of any other devices that are near you and tuned into the meeting. If you have joined by phone and would like to comment on an item, please press star 9 to let our staff know and wait to be notified. When it is your turn to speak, you will hear a notification asking you to unmute your phone by pressing star 6. If you have joined by computer, you may use the chat feature in Zoom to indicate your desire to speak. When done speaking, please mute your device again. Please participate from a quiet environment so that the Board can hear you when you are speaking. And now we will do roll call. President Pauly?
Present.
Director Crona?
Here.
Director Slauson?
Here.
Director Armstrong?
Here.
Director Record?
Here.
And our legal counsel is present.
Very good. Thank you very much for that. April, do we have anyone who has turned in a card to do public comment on an item not on our agenda this morning?
No, we do not.
Very good. Thank you for that. With that, we will go on to item 2 on our agenda, which is public hearing this morning. This is the time and place set for the duly noticed public hearing regarding the proposed establishment of Community Facilities District Number 22-94, Marvella Estates of the Eastern Municipal Water District, the proposed rate and method of apportionment and authorizing the CFD to incur bonded indebtedness. I declare the public hearing open. I'd like to ask for a staff report. Good morning, Mr. Hayes.
Morning, President Pauly, members of the Board. EMWD has received a signed petition by Sanjak 55 LLC, a landowner of certain property located in the city of San Jacinto, west of the Saboba Indian Reservation, north of Esplanade Avenue, and south of 7th Street. The signed petition requested EMWD to form a CFD to finance applicable EMWD water and sewer facilities costs in lieu of fees. On December 21, 2022, the Board adopted Resolution 2022-283, declaring its intention to establish CFD number 2022-94, Marvella Estates, and Resolution 2022-284 for the CFD to incur a bonded indebtedness amount not to exceed $7 million. The project is planned for 166 single-family homes. CFD number 2022-94, as proposed, will be established in compliance with EMWD's comprehensive debt policy, meeting or exceeding all requirements. Annual special taxes within the CFD will have an average effective tax rate of 2% or less at the time of bond sale. Special taxes may be levied at their assigned rate as soon as a parcel is considered developed per the RMA, the rate and method of apportionment. The proposed CFD is also within the boundaries of an existing EMWD CFD, CFD number 2015-70, Marvella Estates, with the exception of 34 already constructed homes. The petition received from Sanjak 55 LLC also requests the dissolution of the older CFD upon the formation of the new CFD. The older CFD, CFD number 2015-70, was partially developed by a prior developer and has since changed ownership to Sanjak 55 LLC. The CFD has not issued bonds. However, special taxes have been levied and will be used toward CFD number 2022-94 as permissible by law. Forming CFD number 2022-94 and dissolving CFD number 2015-70 will serve to update rates and costs from 2016, update the number of the CFD, and also extend the term of the tax. The Board has received and reviewed a Community Facilities District report for the CFD prepared by Webb Municipal Finance, LLC, which is hereby entered into the record of this public hearing.
Did the board members have any questions for staff on this item? Seeing none, then I'd like to ask the Secretary of the Board how this hearing was noticed.
Notice of the public hearing was published on February 21st, 2023 in the Press Enterprise, a newspaper circulated within the CFD boundary in accordance with the Mellow Ruse Community Facilities Act of 1982.
Good. If the Secretary of the Board has received any written protest to the proposal, I'd like to ask her to provide those copies to the board at this time.
No written protests to the proposal have been received.
Thank you. Since members of the public have been invited to participate in this hearing by phone, I'd like to ask that any members of the public who would like to comment on this item, please do so now. Please state your name for the record before commenting. Do we have any speakers on the phone wishing to participate?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, with that, I will declare the public hearing closed. At this time, we are ready to adopt the following resolutions. Resolution establishing CFD number 22-94, Marvella Estates of the Eastern Municipal Water District, authorizing the levy of special taxes and calling an election therein, and a resolution determining the necessity to incur bonded indebtedness within CFD number 22-94, Marvella Estates, and calling an election therein. I will accept a motion and a second at this time.
Take the motion.
Motion by Director Armstrong, second by Director Slauson.
Okay.
Can we do a roll call vote, please?
Yes. President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Crona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
That is passed 5-0. The resolution we have just adopted to form CFD number 22-94 authorized a special tax and call for a bond election within CFD 2294, which is to be held at this time by the Secretary.
All ballots have been cast in connection with the election for Community Facilities District Number 2022-94, Maravilla Estates of Eastern Municipal Water District, and the election has now been closed. The results of said election, which includes the number of votes cast for and against Proposition A, B, and C, was unanimous in favor of all propositions.
Having heard the statement of the Secretary certifying the results of the propositions, I will entertain a motion to adopt the following resolution. Resolution certifying the results of the December 21st, 2022 special tax bond elections within CFD 22-94 of the Eastern Municipal Water District. Do you have a motion? Motion by Director Corona.
Second.
Second by Director Slauson. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Crona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
That passes on a vote of 5-0. The resolution is passed. I will now ask the District Legal Counsel if it is necessary for the Secretary to read the proposed ordinance to be voted upon in connection with these proceedings with respect to authorizing the levy of a special tax within CFD 2294.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The reading of proposed ordinance of the Board of Directors of Eastern Municipal Water District, acting in its capacity as the legislative body of Community Facilities District Number 2022-94 of Eastern Municipal Water District, authorizing the levy of a special tax within the district, may be waived since everyone present has a copy of the proposed ordinance or may obtain a copy from the district's website.
Thank you very much. I will accept a motion and a second to waive the reading of the proposed ordinance and adopt the ordinance.
So moved.
Moved by Director Slauson, second by Director Armstrong. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Motion is passed 5-0. With the formation of CFD number 22-94, is now approved, I will entertain a motion to adopt the following resolution. Resolution determining that a special tax of CFD number 215-70 of the Eastern Municipal Water District shall cease to be levied authorizing directing the reconsideration recognition of the notice of secession of the special tax. So moved by Director Corona, second by Director Slauson. May I go to roll call vote, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
And that passes 5-0. With that, we will go on to item 3 of our agenda this morning, which is our executive report, starting with General Manager Mawad.
Good morning, President Pauly, members of the board. My report is included in your packet. Under new and ongoing items, I'm very pleased to share with you some news this morning. Yesterday, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers released its 2023 work plan. And within the work plan, they have committed to provide Eastern an additional $4.5 million of funding for our desalinization program. And specifically, the additional funding is going to allow us to advance to construction the transmission pipelines to be able to supply additional brackish water to our treatment campus. The last 2 years, we've been successful as well in securing funding for this specific pipeline project. So combined with this year's funding success, we're going to be able to advance that very important project. We would not have been able to achieve this without the support from many of our stakeholders, but specifically Congressman Calvert has been a key advocate for EMWD. And in fact, he had made a personal call to the Army Corps Assistant Secretary Connor to support our program. So we will be issuing a press release as well as thank you letters for our many supporters and specifically for Congressman Calvert. Also last week, President Pauly, Jolene Walsh, myself, and Pakal had an opportunity to join our MPA team up in Sacramento and resumed for the first time since the onset of the pandemic in-person legislative meetings. It was an opportunity to meet with our local electeds. We started the day with a meeting with the State Water Resource Control Board Chair, Joaquin Esquivel. It was a really productive meeting. We had an opportunity to thank him for the funding that the State Board has provided EMWD on the North Paris Groundwater Program. We also highlighted our efforts on the purified water replenishment and the need to streamline that regulatory approval through DDW, as well as highlight our efforts on Quail Valley and the need for continued state support for the septic to sewer conversion. Chair Esquivel was very complimentary of EMWD. In fact, he highlighted our longstanding efforts on managing non-functional turf, water use efficiency, and consolidation of small systems. So he very much expressed his support for what we're doing and welcomed any assistance that he can provide on those efforts. We also had a chance to meet with our newly elected representatives, Assembly members Kate Sanchez, Bill Asaley, and Corey Jackson. We had an opportunity to share with them our various efforts, initiatives locally and statewide. And we also had a chance to meet with Senator Roth and Senator Kelly Sierto as well. Assemblymember Eduardo Garcia was not available in person last week, but we did have a follow-up virtual meeting. President Pauly and myself and others did meet with him last week, and we had an opportunity to share with him some of the same material. So overall, it was a very successful legislative trips and allowed us to highlight our legislative priorities for the coming year and be a resource to all of our electeds on water and wastewater issues. Next, I wanted to share with you a quick update on the water supply conditions. As you're aware, conditions are improving dramatically day by day. Last week, the Department of Water Resources increased the state water project allocation from 30 to 35%. That represents over 200,000 acre-feet of additional water to all the state water project contractors. Now, we believe that's a modest increase based on the record-setting snowpack that we're seeing up north and throughout the state. We believe that the allocation is going to increase. In fact, projections at this time are that the allocation will ultimately be somewhere between 60, possibly 100%. We're going to continue working with Metropolitan very closely. Metropolitan's priorities as the allocation increases is first to pay back the health and safety deliveries that they received last year. That will occur when the allocation reaches 40%. And then beyond that, to replenish the reservoirs that they relied upon during the drought over the last few years, including Diamond Valley Lake. And, of course, if conditions continue to improve, then I'm sure Metropolitan will be considering cyclic storage opportunities. So we'll continue to work with Matt on that issue. For now, given the improved conditions, Metropolitan has suspended further discussions on the water supply allocation plan that we had initiated with them. So again, things are looking very promising, at least on the state water project side. Of course, on the Colorado River, things still are somewhat challenging, to say the least. So we'll continue to monitor efforts on reaching consensus on the Colorado River reductions as well. Under items of interest to the board, yesterday, President Pauly, Director Corona, and I had the privilege to present the County of Riverside with the 2022 Water Champion Award. We had an opportunity to express our gratitude to the county for their longstanding support, and specifically over the past year, the county has provided EMWD with access to American Rescue Plan Act funding that has allowed a number of projects to advance in underserved communities, in disadvantaged communities. And also, the county has provided federal funding for the Community Action Partnership CARES program that has allowed some of our struggling customers during the pandemic to assist them financially to pay their bills. In fact, Eastern is the largest recipient of CARES funding in Riverside County, and Riverside County is the largest participant in that program statewide. So it's been an incredible program to help struggling families with their utility bills. So it was a good event yesterday, and we definitely expressed our gratitude to the Board of Supervisors. Also this week, President Pauly and I had a chance to meet with Riverside County Fire Chief Weiser. It was a good discussion about how we can collaborate and partner. Specifically, we will be sharing information with the fire chief on recycled water ponds that may be accessible by helicopters, but they're also looking for additional helipods located at various sites within the region. That way they have better access to water during firefighting activities, and they shared with us the new helicopters they have retained, which have greater access of storage, 1,000 gallons of storage for firefighting purposes. Very, very impressive. We also discussed opportunities to have some of our staff train with the fire department relative to confined space entry and rescue. So it was a really good conversation, and I look forward to advancing those discussions so we can both provide assistance to each other. And finally, I wanted to share with the board that I will be traveling to Atlanta this weekend to participate in the water reuse board meeting, as well as the conference that is to take place early next week. EMWD is going to be honored at the conference. We will be provided with the Excellence in Action Award, specifically for our partnerships with the Lakeset Hemet. As you're aware, that was one of the largest retrofit projects that we have undertaken through our accelerated retrofit program, where there's a senior retirement community that includes a golf course, storage ponds, and the various amounts of landscaping that we retrofitted. That community, once it was retrofitted to recycled water, is now using one-third of the potable water for landscape irrigation compared to its conditions prior to the project. So we're going to be recognized. I know April is going to be attending, as well as John Worth and I will be accepting the award on behalf of EMWD. With that, that concludes my report. Be happy to answer any questions the board may have.
See, Director Armstrong.
Yeah, just a quick question on your water conditions update. If it was to get to that best case scenario and there was cyclic storage water available, is that something that we have the ability, the facilities and the ability, excuse me, to participate in?
That's a great question, Dr. Armstrong. Yes, we do. Essentially, the last time we participated in the cyclic storage, what we have done, we would rest our wells in East Valley, in Hemet, San Jacinto, essentially purchase more water from MET, and we would get credit for that essentially in-lieu banked water. And I know others, such as Rancho, have participated in those programs. So absolutely, we have the ability to take advantage of that program if and when it becomes available.
Great. Thanks.
Director Slauson?
Sure. I have two questions, I think. One, you mentioned the confined space.
Yes.
Some years back, there was a city that said, well, we want them below ground, the double detector checks below ground, even though our policy is to have them above ground. Do you know if any cities are resistant at all now?
I'm not familiar with the various cities' position. I know that often when you put those types of valves below ground, there's also concerns about corrosion that occur in addition to access. So we've taken the position that we would rather have them above ground. But the confined entry that I was referring to was more of everything from wet wells at lift stations to manholes to other larger facilities beyond valve stations.
Okay. Then the other question is, I remember back in December, the climatologists were all, I remember researching it. Unfortunately, they said, this is going to be a La Nina.
Yes.
So is it still a La Nina year?
That's a great question, Director Slauson. What I can share with you, though, is I know when those conversations were ongoing several months ago, I had heard that in 2017, when it was an incredibly wet year, that was also identified as a La Nina year, but obviously it ended that cycle. So I think we may be on the verge of a conclusion of the La Nina year, very similar to what occurred back in 2017.
Okay, and they go by the temperature of the water.
Yes, they monitor the temperature of the oceans, and they try to model and anticipate the amount of precipitation and snowpack we're going to get. But again, it is based on the temperature in the Pacific Ocean. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's all.
Very good. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Laura, do you have anything for us this morning?
Yeah, I just wanted to add on to Joe's comment about water reuse. Our recycled water rate study is going to be highlighted at the conference next week. John Worth will be there to present. April's team, Finance, and John Worth put together a very informative poster that they're going to use for informational purposes on our project because it was very unique. And it was accepted as one of the presentations. So I just wanted to share that with the board.
Very good. Thank you. Nick, anything for us this morning?
Yes, thank you, President Pauley. I do have one update I'd like to share with you, the latest update on the Fallbrook Rainbow LAFCO application for reorganization. This has been an ongoing process for, gosh, over 3 years, coming up to 4 years now. And it's been very quiet for many, many months. You've inquired as to where we're at, and I've been reporting that, you know, it's still with San Diego LAFCO, but it seems to be a very slow process. Just recently got word that they finally do have a definitive schedule now to bring this item before the commission and begin the public hearing process for this. And so the schedule that we're looking at is they shared with me that in mid-March, San Diego LAFCO staff will be taking this matter to a couple of their advisory committees, a special districts advisory committee and a city's advisory committee, just as an information item. And they clarify that there will be no staff recommendation. It's just information to begin the process. And then they're looking at early April to reconvene the ad hoc advisory committee that they formed to review this matter. And we are one of the members of that ad hoc advisory committee. It includes Fallbrook, Rainbow, County Water Authority, ourselves, the San Diego County, and a few other water districts and cities within the San Diego region. So that advisory committee will be held, again, early April, and they're seeking just some, you know, final feedback input from the advisory committee for them to finalize their report. And then they're looking at having the first LAFCO Commission public hearing set for early June, which staff can roll out information and their recommendation. And they're envisioning that possibly they might have a couple, three public hearings, but ultimately they're looking at bringing this to a culmination in early August with a final public hearing. In which they can then take public testimony and begin deliberation. So we have a, you know, after all these years, we have a definitive schedule in which this will come before the San Diego LAFCO Commission. And I do want to let you know, I think President Pauley was looking for some clarification from me as far as what Riverside LAFCO's role in this, just as a reminder that when this whole process began, Riverside LAFCO and San Diego LAFCO got together. They entered into an MOU where Riverside delegated the whole process and their authority to San Diego LAFCO for this matter. And I've confirmed with Riverside LAFCO that there is no action on their part following the conclusions of the San Diego LAFCO process. And all they will be looking at, you know, in the event that there is a reorganization, just to gather the necessary maps of boundaries and sphere of influence if it changes, and then they'll just incorporate that into their database. So they will be taking no action on this. It is entirely deferred to San Diego LAFCO.
Very good. Thank you for looking into that. Director Armstrong.
Yeah, Nick, is there a conclusion on who would vote if there was a vote in San Diego on this?
That is still one of the issues that is out there. Obviously, Fallbrook and Rainbow feel very strongly that the act, the process, requires only a vote within their service areas. San Diego County Water Authority has argued the point that this affects the entire region, so it should be a vote of the entire county. LAFCO has not made any recommendation. And I'm sure that when this goes before the commission, that's going to be one of the issues that will be be addressed.
Very good. Any other questions for Nick? All right. Ms. Alexander.
Good morning, President Pauly and members of the board. This morning, I am very pleased to introduce the newest member of our executive team, Mr. Matt Bates. Matt will be joining us as the Director of Engineering Support Services. Matt has over 17 years of experience in the water utility industry. He is a graduate of Cal Poly Pomona, the other Cal Poly. he also holds a Bachelor's of Science in Civil Engineering. He comes to us from Elsinore Valley Municipal Water District, where he served as their engineering manager. Prior to that, he served for the City of Corona, as well as the Riverside Public Utilities Department, in which he worked with our Deputy General Manager, Laura Nomura, and he comes very highly recommended. With that, I'd like to introduce Matt and invite him to say a few words.
Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you so much, President Pauly, members of the board. Appreciate the opportunity and I look forward to working with the team.
Very good. Thank you for the introduction. Anything else?
That's it this morning.
Mr. Melendez.
Good morning. Just wanted to let everyone know that through the course of all these storms, Eastern's done very well. We've not had any unusual problems or failures, so things have been running well. And Director Slauson, during the other updates, I was able to find, according to the NOAA, that it is in fact still La Nina, apparently, which is supposed to transition by April, so I suppose we'll see how that goes. Also related to the weather is, so far we've diverted about 810 acre feet at Grant Avenue, and this morning we were flowing 19,000 GPM into the ponds. So we got really good flow going right now. It's about 27 MGD worth of water. So we're doing pretty well there this year. And finally, over last week, we were able to finish filling up recycled water storage to about 90%. We were at 88% on Monday. And so we've increased our discharge flow rate for now. And so far, we're at about 2,700 acre feet of water discharged to Mescal Canyon. And that's all I had.
Well, if I could just say that, I guess, so technically it was probably a La Nina based on the weather, but maybe that's not a good indicator, as good as they hoped that it would, you know, bring precipitation or not. So, anyway.
Yeah, it's interesting result.
Very good. Thank you for that.
Maybe that's why.
We will move on to item four this morning, which is our consent calendar. Do any members of the board want a separate discussion or a separate vote on any consent calendar item?
I just want to abstain on the minutes. I don't think we need to take that separately, do we?
Oh, it'd just be the record show, the minutes should reflect that as to this item, Director. Record abstained on 4A.
Very good.
I'll move the consent calendar.
I'll second.
Director Corona moved the calendar. Director Slauson seconded the consent calendar. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye, with abstention on the
and
meeting
that,
minutes.
That passes 5-0 with the exemption on item A for Director Record. Thank you for that. We'll move on to our action calendar this morning. Item A is to approve and authorize a water contract to Pacific Hydrotech Corporation for $25 million under specification 1403S, San Jacinto Valley Regional Water Reclamation Plant Rehabilitation, Digester 2 Rehabilitation, additional appropriation of $33 million. Good morning.
Thank you, President Pauly.
We're going to spend some money this morning.
Yes, we are. And good morning, members of the board. So this morning I'll be presenting our recommendation. Before we start, we do have some guests here. On behalf of the project's design consultants, we have representatives from Corolla Engineers, Kennedy Jenks Consultants, and HDR Engineering. On behalf of the proposed construction management firm, MWH, we have some representatives here. And also on behalf of the proposed general contractor, Pacific Hydrotech, we have Kirk Harnes and Greg Cheney.
Thank you all for being here this morning. I appreciate it very much for coming for this item.
So this morning's agenda, the project will be located at our SJV, RWRF, which is located on the northeast region of our service area. We'll be going over the background, summary of the bids, recommended services during construction, the project schedule, and our recommendations to the board. By way of background, SJV RWRF consists of two treatment plants, Plant 1 and Plant 2. So in order to benefit from economies of scale and also to facilitate project management and provide efficient plant operations, staff combined three different design packages into a single construction contract. The three projects are the Plant 1 rehabilitation, the centroid equalization, and the digester number 2 rehabilitation. So SJVRWRF Plant 1 was originally taken offline back in 2013 when we completed the Plant 2 expansion. Recent growth in the area and also the advancement of our purified water replenishment program requires that we bring Plant 1 back into active service. Major project elements for the Plant 1 rehabilitation will include rehabilitation of the Plant 1 aeration basins, decommissioning of the Plant 1 primary and secondary clarifiers, construction of new mixed liquor pump station, flow meter structure, aeration basin splitter box, RAS flow meter, and piping to convey the process flows within the plant. Currently, staff dewaters digested biosolids on a limited daytime hours. They return the centrate without equalization or control, which has an impact on nutrient treatment and removal. So the centroid equalization project will allow staff to equalize and control the return of the centroid, which will improve operational flexibility and also help with chemical treatment chemistry. The major project elements of the centroid equalization project include construction of a new centroid transfer pump station, repurposing of the existing sludge transfer building to our new centroid return pump station, converting existing digester number 2 to our new centroid equalization tank, construction of a new chemical feed system, and new pipelines to convey the processes within the plant. As mentioned earlier, the plan is to convert digester number 2. A condition assessment of digester number 2 showed that it needs structural repair prior to bringing it back online as our new centroid equalization tank. So for the digester number 2 rehabilitation, the project elements include structural rehabilitation, which includes removal and replacement of loose concrete, crack repairs, modifications to existing guardrail, and also coating of the digester's exterior and its components. On December 12, 2022, staff publicly advertised the project. On February 2nd of 2023, that is a typo, we received three bids. Pacific Hydrotech of Paris, California was the lowest responsive bidder with a bid in the amount of approximately $25.5 million. The engineer's estimate for this project was a combined total of $22 million, and the delta between the engineer's estimate and the low bid can be attributed to the current market volatility. This morning, we're also recommending support services during construction from Corollo Engineers, Kennedy Jenks, and HDR to provide typical engineering services during construction. We're also recommending a contract with Commerce Consultants to provide soils and concrete sampling and testing necessary during the project. Staff solicited proposals from six qualified construction management firms. From the three proposals received, a committee comprised of field engineering and engineering staff selected MWH Constructors of Corona, California. Should the board approve our recommendations, we are looking to issue Pacific Hydrotech notice to proceed later this month with a project completion date of March of 2025. So this morning, this is kind of a longer list. Our recommendations is to execute a contract with Pacific Hydrotech in the amount of approximately $25.5 million. Execution of a contract with Corollo Engineers in the amount of $900,000. Execution of a contract with Kennedy Jenks in the amount of approximately $250,000. Execution of a contract with HDR Engineering in the amount of approximately $135,000. Execution of a contract with Converse Consultants in the amount of approximately $177,000. Execution of a contract with M2H Constructors in the amount of approximately $1.5 million. Administrative award of ancillary contracts necessary to complete the project. And at this time, staff is requesting an additional appropriation of $33 million, which brings the total project cost to approximately $35 million. At this time, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions on this?
No questions.
Move approval.
Approved. Moved by Director Record, second by Director Slauson. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Passes 5-0. Excellent presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you all for being here this morning for this. Look forward to working with you on it. We'll move on to item B, which is to approve and authorize an award of contract to Vance Corporation for $1.2 million under specification number 1486W, Moreno Valley Pavement Restoration Project Phase 1, with an additional appropriation of $1.5 million. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, President Pauly and members of the board. My name is Christopher Carey. I'm an associate civil engineer here with the district, and it's my pleasure to present today on the Moreno Valley Pavement Restoration Project Phase 1. Before I begin today, I'd like to introduce Mr. Kurt Akabori, who's in attendance today, representing the Vance Corporation.
Thank you very much for being here, sir.
By way of background, the district is currently advancing several capital projects within the city of Moreno Valley. Those capital projects combined consist of approximately 6 miles worth of pipeline work located throughout the city, and the locations of their interface with the city are illustrated in red in this graphic on the right. The Moreno Valley Pavement Restoration Program will provide the final pavement overlay associated with those district projects, as well as additional pavement overlay and related improvements requested by the City of Moreno Valley, pursuant to the terms of an interagency agreement. Now, this coordinated approach with the city provides efficiencies in construction cost while improving safety and minimizing impacts to the community. The program is proposed to be advanced in two phases. Phase 1, which is shown in red, will provide the final overlay for the district's Cactus 2 Feeder Phase 1 and Pettit Regulated Pressure Zone projects. Phase 2, which will follow under a separate future contract, will similarly provide final overlay for the Parish North Raw Water Conveyance Pipeline's Phase 2 project, as well as the district's Kitching Street and Iris Avenue sewer replacement project. Furthermore, this phasing was closely coordinated with the City of Moreno Valley's citywide pavement rehabilitation program, which will cover a portion of the Phase 1 participating project scope, which is shown in blue on the right. The scope of the Phase 1 project consists of pavement resurfacing, localized pavement repairs, and related improvements such as utility adjustments and striping for the Cactus 2 Feeder and Pettit Regulated Pressure Zone projects. The district advertised this project in early January, and in early February received 6 bids. After evaluation and review of those bids, 2 were determined to be non-responsive, 1 was withdrawn due to clerical error, and Vance Corporation was determined to be the lowest responsive and responsible bidder in an amount of approximately $1.2 million, which is about 20% lower than the engineer's estimate of approximately $1.5 million. However, the distribution of bids that we did receive indicated a clear and consistent interpretation of the bid documents. In addition to the construction contract, we're looking to advance contracts with 3 consultants today for support services during construction, and the scope of those proposed services consists of the typical suite of office engineering support services during construction by Ardura, which is the engineer of record for the project and was previously competitively selected for the design. Full-time geotechnical observation and material testing services by Converse Consultants, which was the geotech engineer of record for both of the Phase 1 projects. And then lastly, environmental support services by Helix Environmental Planning, which prepared the associated CEQA documentation for the district projects. As I mentioned earlier, we advanced this project in partnership with the City of Moreno Valley, pursuant to an interagency agreement that we entered into with the city. Under the terms of that agreement, the district agreed to let and administer the necessary contracts for the work, and then the city agreed to reimburse the district for their portion of the work. And for the Phase 1 contract, the city's portion represents about 49%. And further, the city has provided their concurrence with staff's bid evaluation and recommendation of award they're presenting today. And the city also provided very positive feedback on the past performance by Vance Corporation on previous projects for the city. Should the board approve this item today, we would look to advance construction in March, and we would look to conclude construction this September. Staff's recommendation today is to approve and authorize the following items: execution of a contract with Vance Corporation in an amount of approximately $1,219,000, execution of a contract with Ardura for an amount of approximately $34,000, administrative award and execution of ancillary contracts and agreements to complete the construction, and lastly, additional appropriation of approximately $1,577,000, which brings the total estimated project cost to $1,778,000. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
So my understanding is this is the first time we're working at the Vance Corporation?
We have worked with them on one project in the past. It's been quite a number of years, though.
Okay. Just again, thank you. Thank you for being here this morning. Any other questions? Director Slauson.
Yes, I have two quick questions, I think. One is the City of Moreno Valley has a standard for repaving when you do trenching.
Yes, sir.
So is essentially the city's participation expanding that pavement section?
That's exactly it. So the district has our obligation, which would be per their typical standards, typically to lane line, and the city has opted to participate beyond those limits that we have responsibility for.
Okay. I think it's great when we can work together. And the other question is, what environmental services might be involved?
It's for MMRP compliance. It's actually quite limited for this one. It was determined that all that was needed was the bird surveys up front, similar to what we do with the pipeline work.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Would you like to move the item?
I would move the item.
Moved by Director Slauson, second by Director Armstrong. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Cronin?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Passes 5-0. Thank you. Great presentation today. Appreciate it. And again, thank you for attending our board meeting. We'll move on to item C, which is to approve and authorize a 2-year agreement up to 3 1-year renewals with Dependable Grading Incorporated in the full amount not to exceed a total of $1.6 million for the purchase and supply of miscellaneous argot material.
Good morning, President Paul and members of the board. Mm-hmm. Before I begin, I'd like to introduce Mr. Shane Coppenhaver with Dependable Grading.
Thank you for being here, sir.
So, by way of background, last month, staff received 2 proposals for the supply and delivery of miscellaneous aggregate materials. Dependable Grading, Incorporated of Moreno Valley, provided the sole responsive proposal. Another proposal was received, but the company didn't meet the district's safety standards and was deemed non-responsive. Dependable Grading has been the district's aggregate material supplier for over 10 years, and they've been a quality supplier during this time, responding to many requests from different district staff for aggregate material. They've also worked with local material quarries and have maintained their original pricing during the existing 5-year contract term. Aggregate materials are used by operations and maintenance staff to backfill and complete pipeline work and repairs throughout the district service area. The proposed agreement includes various aggregate materials, including cold mix asphalt, class 2 base, several sizes of crushed rock, gravel, as well as 24-hour delivery of product. Deliveries may also include staging of regularly used material at district facilities for ease of use. Cross-functional team of district staff reviewed the proposal that included criteria of qualifications and experience, performance history, cost, contractual exceptions, safety history, and insurance compliance. Annual expenditures with dependable grading for the supply of delivery of aggregate materials have averaged approximately $275,000 per year over the last 5 years. Pricing has increased about 20% during the past 5 years till now due to fuel, material, and rising labor costs. Under the proposed agreement, pricing would remain firm fixed for the first year. of the agreement with subsequent adjustments limited to a 3% increase based on supply increases to the industry, regulatory changes, and adjustments to the consumer price index. At this time, our recommendation is for the board to approve and authorize a 2-year agreement and up to 3 1-year renewals with Dependable Grading Incorporated in the estimated amount of $330,000 annually with a not to exceed total of $1,650,000.
Any questions for the board on this item? Let me move by Director Cronite. A quick question for you, though. You said we had another bidder that did not meet our safety standards. Is that correct?
Correct.
I like hearing that we are, that's a big thing for me, that we are paying attention to that. So what does that look like when someone, we give all our bidders what our safety requirements are, and how do we know they did not meet them? I'm just curious about that.
We ask them to fill out a form, and then we get with our safety and risk management group, and they do a background check. So we ask them for, I'm sorry, Joe. We ask them to provide any safety incidents that they may have had over the past 10 years, and then with that, our safety and risk management does a thorough background check on them.
So I think at times, President Pauly, what occurs is the form either is not filled out appropriately or they don't disclose mm-hmm. safety incidents they may have had on prior projects. And our team reviews that, and if they're not being transparent in previous safety incidents, then we disqualify them.
Okay. No, I appreciate that very much in our process. So glad we're working with a known vendor. We have a motion by Director Corona, correct? Second by Director Slauson. We'll take a roll call vote.
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Cronin?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Passes 5-0. Great presentation. Thank you for being here. That will move on to item D, which is to approve and authorize Eastern Municipal Water District supporting Director Stephen Corona and Director Estrada from the Coachella Valley Water Agency for the Riverside County Local Agency Formation Commission. Mr. Mawad, you're going to present this one.
Yes, thank you, President Pauly, members of the board. As the board is aware, late last year, two vacancies have occurred on the Riverside LAFCO Commission, specifically for the representation of special districts. There's a vacant position on the western region as well as a vacant position on the eastern region. So that has triggered the election process at LAFCO, and we received notification of the nomination process in February. And per the LAFCO guidelines, the presiding officer, President Pauly, nominated Director Corona for the Western Region seat based on Director Corona's extensive experience when it comes to regional issues, regional planning, and regional water conservation, and frankly, his more than 2 decades of experience serving our region. Beyond the nomination process, there is the election process, and to that, we are seeking this board's support in supporting Director Corona's campaign to be elected to the LAFCO Commission, but also Director Estrada, who is on the Coachella Valley Municipal Water District. He's a vice president. He's been on that board since 2014. And we have an extensive past working relationship with the Director Estrada, specifically on the consolidation of small and failing systems on the SAFER program. So it's been a very mutually beneficial working relationship, and we believe he's extensively qualified for that role on the Eastern region LAFCO seat. So with that, we are seeking this board's support to not only issue the letter that is included in your packet to support Director Corona and Dr. Estrada for the LAFCO seat, but also to conduct other outreach efforts in support of the election. And with that, I would be happy to answer any questions this board may have.
I have one question for legal counsel, and just to be clear, if we take action today, we are able to share our decision with other special districts, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Just like to be clear on that. Any other questions?
No, I have a comment.
Okay.
No, I think that that having a representative on LAFCO is real beneficial and important to Eastern with our footprint in the county, the number of cities that we interact with and serve, the unincorporated areas, and all of our efforts. I think it's really important for us to make this outreach effort to to have our representation on there. And I think Director Corona would be excellent with his background, and not only in water, but just in the county and serving on a Farm Bureau and just other Pony League and just, you know, he's
Little League.
Yeah, not Pony League. I think it's really important for us to try to make that effort to make that happen.
Thank you, Dr. Armstrong. We agree.
I'm going to make the motion to do so. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Director Armstrong. May I take a roll call vote, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Crona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Beckard?
Aye, and I completely agree with Director Armstrong's comments.
Very good. That passes 5-0. Mr. Adams, how long is the presentation on the informational item going to be? If 15 minutes, is it the pleasure of the board that we just kind of plow through today?
Sure.
All right. You are up then, sir.
That's a lot of pressure.
If you want to take 17 minutes, that's go ahead.
I wasn't sure what the
right answer
was.
Go
the other way. If you want to take 13 minutes, that's even better.
I will do my best.
I always like the truncated versions.
All right. Well, with that, the next study session is in a month.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, good morning, President Pauly, members of the board. Today is our kickoff with the board for our next two-year budget. As you know, the budget process is a very in-depth process for EMWD and really is the way that we allocate resources to accomplish our strategic plan and our five-year capital plan. So I'm going to jump into, let me make sure this is up. All right. So this is the outline for today's presentation. I'm just going to quickly go over the board calendar, provide a brief overview, talk a little about district growth and the development history for EMWD over the last 2 years, remind the board what our current expenditure budget is for this current year, which was amended last May, talk about some of the key budget assumptions coming up for this two-year budget, and then the next steps. So quickly, here's the timeline as we are today. March 1st is our first budget study session. We do have two more budget study sessions scheduled in April and in May. Also, concurrently with this process, we have our cost of service study going on. We have our next study session, number 4, next board meeting, and then the fifth and final cost of service study session in April. The budget process did start over 3 months ago, back in November, December. It does take us a while on the capital side to start updating that capital plan, our five-year rolling plan. And then in December, we did work with HR to start working on staffing for the next two-year budget. HR worked exclusively with departments to come up with their staffing plans. And then in February, departments did submit their initial proposals for the next two-year budget. So financial planning is extremely important here at EMWD. Our two-year budget process is very critical. It starts with really our five-year capital plan, our work, our master plans for both water and sewer, and really the need for the development of the two-year plan is to identify the resources needed, and then how are we going to accomplish those resources. So cost of service study is ongoing as we speak. That will help determine the rates that need to be able to support this next two-year budget. With that said, we do have some reserve analysis that we do on our balances, and that will help identify those resources as we go into the next two-year budget. So quickly on district growth, and really want to show this slide just to show that on top of inflation or increases in costs, the district does continue to grow, and so that does have an impact on our operating costs. And so here, just you know, a few highlights. Infrastructure, over $100 million over the last 2 years in net growth. You can certainly see our pipelines, and that's expansion on our system over 2%. When you look at development history, the last completed fiscal year, EDU growth was almost 2% over 5,000 EDUs in 2021-22, and then EMS is over 4,400. That equates to about 2% increases in customers. You can see that 3,400 roughly in water accounts in 2021, and then 3,600 in 2022. As we talk about development history, I want to show this slide. This really shows you the 7-year actuals for the past 7 years since 2015-16. You can see that certainly during the pandemic, we had a large increase in development in our service area. You can see both water and sewer connections increased significantly over our 10-year average. We do still project an increase this this fiscal year over that 10-year average. But in as far as the budget planning process, we do take a 10-year average to anticipate what that growth would be on connections over the next 2 years. So in 2023, 2024, 24-25, we're estimating 6,800 connections, both 3,800 for for sewer and then 3,000 for water connections. So that will be our projection in the next 2 year budget, even though we are seeing a decline since our high of 2022. So certainly the board is more than aware of the uncertainties that face EMWD. EMWD staff has presented several presentations going back to 2021 when we talk about supply chain impacts. Recently with the high inflation, how that has impacted our chemical and energy costs. Certainly we're seeing a reduction in our development with new connections. And then you're more than aware of the rate volatility with the Fed funds rates increases. So as we talk about that budget uncertainty, just showing you a few examples of some impacts on our cost increases. And going back to fiscal year 21-22, prior to really the increase in inflation that we've seen, you can see the budget for energy was $17 million increased last year based on our projections of 23. That's the current budget. And then based on current budget submittals and the current estimate and prices, the budget right now is estimated to be $29 million, 23-24. Chemical costs seeing very similar increases going back to 2021-22, $7.8 million increasing up to $14 million in this current projection of 23-24. And then
can I just ask?
Yes.
So let me pick Matt's brain and have a little, projection. You don't see chemical costs on a decrease anytime soon, correct?
Unfortunately, for sodium hypochlorite, no. We're hearing from the supplier they're going to continue to increase the price. We've heard they've chosen to shut down a couple more production facilities of the older ones. So it seems that competition for that is still pretty high, and so we think the price may go up some more. So that being said, we're trying to expedite a project to re-rate our chlorine contact basins, which would allow us to use a lot less hypochlorite at the wastewater facilities. We're considering installing another on-site generation facility at Paris 2 DeSalter, and may even look at just alternative disinfection technologies like ozone or UV. When prices change to this extent, kind of reopens the door to other things to do. So we're looking at all of these things to manage these really unstable costs we've seen lately.
Yeah, I mean, these are just, to me, staggering numbers in the increase. So are we being conservative in our estimate, or are we being...
Yes. I mean, these are estimates we're making in the last month based on those projections and those contracts that we currently have. And, I didn't mention on energy costs. I mean, certainly we've done a lot with solar, and that has had a positive impact as far as reducing those future costs. But still, the cost increases that we're projecting in the next couple of years are significant when we look at what we're purchasing from SCE and SoCal Gas.
Okay. Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And then, just highlighting waste hauling as well. And those numbers are based on current estimates, based on current contracts that are coming up. So going to look at the 22-23 budget, where this is the budget that was amended last June by the board based on some of the inflationary factors that we had seen back then. Operating cost, almost $270 million. Really, the two main items are personnel and purchased water, which is almost 75% of our operating. But you can see, just to give context, we were talking about energy, chemicals, disposal. You can see $23 million in energy this year, $8.8 million in chemicals, and then disposal, which includes SAPA, is $6.2 million. So, a lot is in personnel and in water, but we're seeing a lot of cost increases in those other areas as well, as far as energy and chemicals and disposal. So my next slide is to show the 10-year history, or at least projections, for staffing at EMWD. You know, really over the past decade, we've made significant investments in technology, looking at business processes. Although the district has grown, you know, 2% every year, you can see based on this that actually our overall growth is less than 1% over the past 10 years. And then with this proposed budget, at least initially, we're anticipating a reduction in staffing at 7.5% positions total. Actually, for eliminations, we have 14 positions that we're eliminating or at least proposing to eliminate in 2024 and then one in 2025. But there are some additions as we sort of look at operations, do have needs in other areas, and so we're shifting some of those eliminations to other departments. You can see those additions, about eight at least currently proposed for 2024. But just going back to the graph, 645 is our current budgeted staffing FTEs, reducing it to 639 and then 638.
And John, I just want to highlight, I think it's this board's action in supporting the outsourcing of call center services is helping us tremendously when it comes to our ability to reduce the staffing levels. I think that was key decision for the next couple of years that we'll be able to benefit from.
Thank you, Joe. Moving on to just the wages and benefit assumptions, we talked about the 7.5 positions overall net reduction. For the cost of living adjustment we're anticipating for 2024 currently is at 5%, and then in 2024-25 we're projecting 3%. Overall merit increases based on a lot of the longevity of staff here at EMWD. We anticipate an average of 2.4% in the next year, 23-24, and then 2.1% in 24-25. Overall, medical, at this point, we're projecting a 5% increase in overall for our medical contributions for employees. And then on pension, we do see a slight decline in our normal cost as we have more members that are PEPRA members that are joining the agency. Our UAL is decreasing in 2023, but based on projections from CalPERS and their losses in this past year, we're actually seeing an increase of 2.8% in 2024. And then currently, we are proposing, or at least anticipating to include in the budget, a $15 million pension trust contribution next year. As the board knows, we made two $15 million pension contributions this last 2 years. And this would continue that $15 million to get fully funded for our UAL. And then currently, based on our last year's actuarial, we're projecting $0 to be contributed to our OPEB costs, which is our retiree medical health care costs for employees. So quickly, you know, when we talked about the growth of 2%, roughly, we're only projecting a 1.4% increase in water sales. Key drivers really here is, it was talked about the 2% service growth, but really conservation efforts as new customers come online, more efficient. So we're looking at only 1.4%. You can see our current projection is a little over 90,000 acre feet, increased to 91,450 and then 92,800 in the second year. Production forecasts, and this is built as part of our cost of service, looking to purchase about 68,000 acre feet this year, 14,000 from our desalter productions, and then 14,000 from well, and that will continue over the next 2 years, with most of the increases impacting our purchased water from Met. Then here, this is really costs for MWD. The 2023 rates was the 5% increase that we saw from 2022. You can see the 4.8% increase for 2024. This is in line with the 5% increase that MedHead anticipates implementing in 2024. The 2025 number is actually a projection based on currently their 10-year forecast, which actually anticipated an overall 7% increase for Met. That would, of course, you know, drive both full service treated and untreated. You can see the 7.6 in both of those areas. But certainly that 7% isn't currently approved by the board, but is anticipated for the staff to be proposing that. And this is the big slide on our budget assumptions. So We did something a little different this year. In past years, we would take a broader view of our increases that we're going to see in the different cost areas. But because we postponed, or at least had this study session 2 weeks later than we have in the past, we were able to actually get departments' initial proposals in order to build the assumptions for 23, 24, and 24, 25. So what I'm showing here are those major areas on our operating expenses. And then you can see the first column is our original budget that was done in 2021. And so you can see we had 3% labor for COLA, 4.6 in energy, and 7.9. And then you can just see those ranges. Well, last year we did have an update on the two-year budget. You can see those increases. Then, hold on. My mouth gets dry when I talk too much. So anyway, the middle column is actually the updated budget projection that we did last May. You can see the 6% in the labor, and then 32% in energy, 13% in chemicals. Well, then now we're talking about the two-year budget. You can see the projection there. So 5%, 3% for labor, 29% for energy, 12%, and chemicals, 60% for the first year, and then 16% the second year. Waste hauling, 45%, and then 5%. So you can see those projections, significant increases over the last 2 years, at least for last year or this current year and the next 2 years. Any questions?
John, I'll just add to that. So we brought Matt has brought a lot of the contracts forward, especially as it relates to chemicals and waste hauling. And I think his plan is to work with Dan Howell, and they will continue to look for better pricing. But as it stands now, these are the estimates.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, in the past we had a broader perspective on those estimates. These are based on current submittals by departments based on those contracts. So a lot more analysis has been done to come up with these assumptions at this point. We'll be refining them. Certainly we got a long way to go over the next 2 months, but we will continue to look at how to refine these and bring those costs a little more in line.
John, at some point, can you give a little more clarity on where the energy is? It fuel? Is it electricity?
It's mostly electricity. Okay. Mm-hmm. We actually have a presentation tomorrow on the second quarter financials, and what those projections are showing is that our Edison costs are higher than our initial projections. Where SoCal Gas, the way we've shifted from going from using gas to electric, has actually come down. So it's not so much on the gas; it's actually been electrical. Electricity that has
so
a large increase.
Sure, that we're exploring every opportunity to increase our solar
installation. Yes, top
thank
priority.
Thank God we have what we have now.
No, we are, Director Record. In fact, we're just kicking off construction on our battery storage project, which is going to continue to help with mitigating the impacts of rising Edison cost. But I do agree with what John is saying, which is that if it wasn't for our 50% self-generation of energy, the financial impacts as far as rate increases would be essentially double what we're seeing here. So we've made great strides in trying to shield our customers, but unfortunately we still rely about 50% of our electricity from Edison.
And I would just add that recently President Pauly asked us to look into if we have other areas that we could accommodate solar, and Dan has done an evaluation on that, and we'll bring that back to the board. But currently, from what he's seeing in the market value of these PPAs and so forth, it really isn't beneficial currently.
We'll have further discussions on that.
Yes. But, I agree with Director Record. This is obviously, I see it at my residence. The energy prices are going up exponentially, and at some point, I think, is this, we need to probably communicate that into some of our customer communications of it's not just the cost of water, but the cost of providing water, which takes a lot of energy, is everyone's feeling it right now. So
we agree.
Agreed. So just summarizing, I think when looking at the updated May 2022 numbers, we spent a lot of time at that point projecting for this year, and I can tell you at least currently in our current our current fiscal year, and at least at the end of the second quarter, we're performing strongly. We are seeing those increases in energy and chemicals being a little higher than budget, but we have savings off in benefits, position savings, and other savings in other O&M. So we're going to, at least right now, projected to finish the year strong. But again, just to show these up, you know, these percentage increases, you know, for not just last year, but what we're projecting based on current department submittals, we'll work to try to refine that as we go forward the next 2 months. So one of the other slides I want to show as far as assumptions is really, you know, instead of just talking about rates, but other non-operating revenue. So here we have a very conservative estimate on property tax. Last two-year budget, we only, the 25% was because we were adjusting to what we were currently anticipating, but in the second year it was 2%. So this year we actually are seeing an increase of over 8%. But taking that forward, a 4% and a 3%. So 4% next year, 3% the second year. Connection fees, that 3% is really just anticipating the increase in the fee based on ENR. We're actually not anticipating any additional connections, as I showed earlier. Interest income, we did have a significant increase based on where rates are currently for this year. We are anticipating a 3% increase in the next two years. And then other income, just minor increases at 2%. This is really based on fees that we're going to be increasing in the next few months. So just briefly on the capital improvement plan, this will actually, we'll have more detail on this at the next study session. This is just to show you at least currently where it's projected. The five-year capital plan will continue to be refined over the next month. Currently, we're anticipating about $159 million to be spent in the next 2 years per year, with about approximately $6 million in external funding. You can see the increase. Certainly, you know, this increase, some of it has to do with the inflation. Some of it has to do with additional external funding we have received on some projects, some key projects. But this will be covered in detail at the next budget study session with the board next month. And then the other area, operating fixed assets, or what we call operating fixed assets, OFA. Currently, we are working through those details. Last year, or last two-year budget cycle, the total was almost $40 million. We're reviewing department requests as we speak. We'll be bringing that number back to you at the next board meeting as well, or at least the next day session. And then debt service, we've shown this slide. We've worked very hard over the last 5 years to sort of even out our debt service. We're projecting to have $59 million over the next 2 years. Currently, there's no plans for any debt issuance over the next 2 years. But as we go through the capital plan and try to anticipate the impacts on reserves, we'll be back to the board at, I think, the third study session to discuss any needs for any issuance of debt. So one of the slides that we added to this presentation that we haven't done in the past is just to show you our reserve balances. Certainly had some discussion about the high increases in costs that we're anticipating. What the district has done over the last decade has built reserves, especially for uncertainty, when we talk about the budget uncertainty and the potential impacts on rates. And just want to show the board that you know, reserves continue to increase. We have performed very well over the last 5 years. And you can see just in comparison from December 2022 from 2021, reserves increased over $10 million. So certainly doing well. We have reserves to help mitigate any rate impacts to constituents and to customers. And then with that, here's the next steps. Next study session for the cost of service will be March 15th, and then our next budget study session is April 5th. We will conclude this whole process in the public hearing on June 21st, and then rates would become effective in January. So with that, sorry I didn't make the 15 minutes. I think this went a little longer.
That's okay. We asked questions, so it's not your fault.
I'd rather have questions. So.
So, John, maybe I can just add a couple items. One is, as the board is aware, the biannual budget process and the cost of service process are converging, and we are going to be presenting a lot of information over the next couple of meetings with the board as far as both the cost of service and biennial budget. Tomorrow, at the admin committee, as John mentioned, we will update the committee on how we're doing as far as second quarter financial and capital highlights. And we'll bring that report to the full board, the following board meeting. What it is showing is, as John indicated, there are definitely certain expenditures that are coming in much higher than what we expected. But I also want to say that our revenues are performing very well. So overall, second quarter is looking fine. We're still in very good position. And end of the year, we've done some projections, although, again, that trend of certain expenditures, be it chemicals or energy, may still be significantly above what we budgeted. But overall, we have a very diverse financial strategies, and we have a very healthy position. We will see where we end up, but we think we may still be close to budget end of this fiscal year. What we really wanted to share with you is that these expenses are not what we've seen historically. They're just very unusual when it comes to the inflationary impacts. And that's where the conversation will occur with the board as far as what are our options and our strategies to mitigate that spike. For example, you saw the increase in our capital improvement program. Part of it is because of a lot of the external funding that we are successful in securing, whether it's ARPA or otherwise. So is there an opportunity to smooth that out over a longer period of time? That's really where the discussion needs to occur relative to how can we potentially utilize our reserve, not to address would be needed rate increases for permanent cost escalations, but more of can we smooth out those trajectories going forward. And that's a conversation that will be occurring. It is going to be, over the next few months, a fairly intensive discussion with the board as we bring forward, ultimately, the biennial budget for your consideration.
Comments or...
I have kind of a basic question. So these are your key assumptions. You had the COLA going from a 5% to a 3%. So that means you expect inflation to be tamped down on.
Yes.
Which means the Fed has to raise their rates, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you think about, I mean, the Fed's short or long-term inflation number is 2 to 3%. So certainly in projections that we're seeing, you know, where rates, you know, inflation is heading, we're looking at 5% and then 3%. So I don't want to say optimistic, but certainly the Fed is going for that 2 to 3% and anticipate doing that in the next 12 to 18 months. So.
But you expect them to have to increase the rate?
Yeah, I just don't know how much.
Okay.
I mean,
so if they do that, doesn't necessarily follow probably mortgage rates would go up?
Yeah, but mortgage rates are long term, right? I mean, what we're seeing is an inverse yield curve right now.
Right.
I mean, it's you know, I mean, it's significant. I mean, and so
I don't envy your position.
Yeah,
And
going from an investment side, I mean, we're certainly short-term rates are, you know, we're able to invest, you know, one year instrument right now is about 6%. Where going out 5 is 4.5. So it's very difficult from that aspect. And so I think knowing where the Fed needs to have the rates in order to start bringing down inflation, we see an inverted yield curve, and their goal is 2 to 3%. So. We got to anticipate that from that perspective. If that's their goal, we need to be anticipating that 3% in the second year.
All right. I don't
have any. Director Record.
So along those lines, would it be possible to get a snapshot of what interest rate impacts have been to the district? I mean, I'm pretty confident that our long-term bond financing is fixed and it's in really good shape, but you see interest income up, but I'm not sure we don't have a whole lot of money that's just sitting there getting interest on.
Yeah, but when we talk about reserves, I mean, our portfolio is over $600 million. And so I was just, myself and our treasury manager this morning were talking about our projections for the next 2 years and, you know, being conservative but anticipating where are the rates and stuff. And so, you know, right now I think, I'm just throwing a number off the top of my head, I think our budget's between 5 and 6, but projections over the next 2 years are, you know, 10 to 12 a year, significant. And you don't want to anticipate that long term because it has an impact on your rates. But certainly, you know, when we're talking about potentially 3% on $600 million, that's pretty significant. So.
Right. So maybe just the impact of what our cost of funds are, you know.
Yeah.
Just, you know, nothing in too much detail, but it'd be interesting to see.
I will, on the next presentation for the study session, we'll include that to show you the interest earnings projection and then what our costs are. And really, as you mentioned, Director Record, 85% of our debt is fixed, 15% is variable. I mean, I saw rates yesterday on one of our variable rates. It was 1.5%. So that's been very volatile. I mean, I've seen it up as high as 2.83% over the last 2 months, but 1.5%, we're earning more, much more of that in, on our investment portfolio.
The other thing is on slide 10, you're talking about FTEs, and I'm just curious how many of those you think are going to be retiring in the near term, and do you think there's any challenges with finding new employees?
Well, yes. As far as challenges for new employees and replacing those that are retiring, I think yes. I mean, that's part of our succession planning plan that the district is doing over the next year. You know, of a couple of the eliminations, I believe two are related to retirements. You can see in those eliminations, Joe had mentioned our outsourcing on the call center. You can see the customer service advisors, you know, 4 full-time, 11 part-time. That's really the outsourcing. Also the meter repair technicians as well. But the two that are retirements are IS-related. And then the additions you can see as well.
So. Can I speak to that? So the two IS, like our department directors are really thinking about their upcoming retirements, and IS is a really great example. Mike Malone has taken a look at his overall department, and he is two of them, are, the eliminations are two retirements, and he's really only adding one replacement because he's been able to rework his department with new technologies, new ways of doing things. We're really looking for ways to be more efficient, so we don't necessarily have to replace one-to-one. And I think the succession planning effort is going to really kind of help us refine our organization. And Joe, since he came on board, we've been doing it piece by piece, either through finance. We did some in Linnea's group. We did some. And so we're always looking at that. But, again, we do have challenges hiring recently. Our cybersecurity efforts, you know, we want to find the best people for that. Those positions are very important. And it did take us, you know, a good 6 months to 9 months to hire one qualified candidate. So we have enhanced our recruiting efforts with 3 recruiters versus one, outsourced recruiters. So we have more options to go after for our recruitments, and obviously hiring CPS to come in and help us refine our succession planning approach. So, yeah, we have our work cut out for us in the next couple of years because we do have a tremendous amount of employees on the books that can retire.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Armstrong.
Yeah, I think there's clearly impacts that are going to have to be, you know, addressed, and that's going to put pressure on things for sure. But I also think that when you look at this, you see really a lot of success of this organization, you know, that's already been talked about. You know, energy would be much worse if, you know, some of those efforts weren't done in the past, or even the fact that we might not even need to issue debt and that we're doing these projects, you know, with cash and with outside external funding, and to be able to do that is a real success. And the I know these are decades of efforts, and the OPEB with no increase in the PERS, and like, you know, those were big challenges, you know, a decade ago, and Eastern has addressed those. So I think, I know there's going to be a lot of pressure, and I anticipate part of that is going to be the discussion about reserves and how they play a role. I really like the chart you put in there on the reserves and the different categories. And so I just have a question. Would we be able to take this chart and take our reserve policy amounts that come from our reserve policy of what those different categories, you know, should be in the ranges, and so we can see how we are doing within each of those categories in terms of funding those reserve policies? Because I think that would be helpful in the future discussion on, you know, what you're going to be recommending with reserves.
We certainly can. I will, whether it's in study session two or study session three, come back with just showing you where those reserves are and the targets and how are we performing.
Yeah.
Yeah, year-end, our controller actually has to tie all that down. They have to make sure that we're meeting our minimum targets and all that, so she probably has something that we can just provide.
Thanks. We appreciate the feedback, Dr. Armstrong, and we agree that there's just been an incredible amount of success over the years to be, in many ways, in a favorable position. The fact that we've grown year after year, on average of 2% when it comes to customers or revenues, and yet we're able to reduce our staffing, I think that speaks volumes to our efforts. With reserves, I think there needs to be further discussions. Again, we need to be thoughtful in how we potentially would leverage reserves, just because if we're seeing long-term financial increases, that reserves aren't going to address that. It's really intended for, as you know, just stabilization or smoothing out. But to that point, that's where I think the conversation needs to happen. If we are seeing certain spikes that are going to come down, not necessarily energy costs, but potentially our investments, say, in refurbishment, rehabilitation. We just awarded a $30-some million investment in refurbishing our wastewater plant. That doesn't happen every year. So it's that smoothing opportunity where potentially we can lean into some of those reserves to be able to revisit how much we would want to increase the fixed charge on our rates that funds a lot of the R&R. So it's those kind of things that I think I'm having the team look at, and we are going to come back to the board with options for considerations.
Any other comments? Director Corona?
No, I agree with everything that's been said so far, especially Director Pauly and the increased costs on everything. And it's just not energy. It's everything. I mean, not just for the district, but just for business in general. I mean, that what we're seeing out there is just there is nothing. There is nothing that is staying the same. Everything is going up. And I just don't, it concerns me because I don't know when it's going to end, you know. But anyway, you guys are doing a great job. I really like how you're planning this out and getting this stuff paid for, because, you know, it's just concerning. So,
note again, and I'll just say kudos to staff. This is great information, John. You and your team are doing a fantastic job providing it. I mean, looking ahead, as we've all talked about, if the board has to raise rates at a certain point coming up here in the next year, I do want to make sure our public communications notes that it's things like energy and chemicals and the things that drive the cost. I just, when we talked to people, when we were in Sacramento last week, I mean, talking to the new members of the legislature who think, you know, water, you guys pay for water and you give it to people. They don't understand, and we were explaining to some of the new ones, the energy, you know, the electricity involved in pumping water through a system or wastewater. So I just want to make sure, as in our public messaging going out, that those factors are included so the public understands it's more than buying water from Met and giving it to you, that we'd have a lot of costs in chemicals and treating wastewater, et cetera. But to note Director Armstrong, I also want to tell the story that this district and this board have done things like solar and other things to try and mitigate those costs. So that, to me, is going forward, just make sure that we have a good public messaging on what's driving rate increases.
Agree. We will.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it. We will go on to our receive and file, item number 7. I will make a motion to receive and file various reports.
Second
by Director Slauson. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Director Armstrong sets out, so we're going to put that as 4-0 with Director Armstrong absent on that. That will take us to our calendar review. Secretary, are you going to do the calendar review this morning? All right.
Good morning, President Pauly and members of the board. I have three new events for your consideration. The first one is Thursday, March 16th. They will be holding a reception for Chairman Adan Ortega in Canyon Lake. The second one is on Friday, March 24th, Assemblymember Garcia Community Open House. That will be at Coachella District Office. And on June 29th, the Western Riverside Council of Governments General Assembly and Leadership Conference will be held in Temecula. Information regarding these events is located within your packet, and so if you'd like to sign up for any of them, please let us know. Moving on to page two.
Could I interrupt for? Could you put the Assemblyman Garcia open house in the central and out in Coachella on my calendar? If I can get out there, I think it would be good to have Eastern represent us out there.
Absolutely, no problem. On page two is the Boardmaster calendar for the next 2 weeks. If there are any conflicts or anything that needs to be changed, please let us know. Moving on to page three are the upcoming conferences and events with participants listed. All board meetings are on schedule, and please note that the May Administrative Committee is in the process of being rescheduled. Moving on to page four are the joint interagency meetings, with the April 10th joint meeting with Elsinore also in the process of being rescheduled. And the out-of-office schedules are listed, along with the district office holiday schedule. If you guys have any questions or need anything changed, please reach out, and we'd be happy to take care of those. Are there any questions? Okay. That concludes my report.
Good. We will go then to our director's attendance reports, and we'll start with Director Armstrong.
MWD standing committee meetings, not a lot to report there, just really one meeting was yesterday, and that's follow-up on the retreat with the long-range planning and business modeling committee to kind of look at what came out of the retreat and start to talking about what the next steps would be from that. Really focused around how climate impacts our supply going forward and how to deal with that. Tour with Congressman Ruiz, that was really a great tour of our treatment plant in San Jacinto. I thought Joe and Matt did a fabulous job in touring him and explaining things to him. He was very engaged. He was asking a lot of detailed questions and really wanted to understand details. There was that one point where Matt was saying, this is where we add so many milligrams or milliliters of something. And Matt goes, that's probably too much information. He's like, no. Tell me more. And so Matt had to go through the whole thing, this much per gallon or whatever. And he was like, he just was really engaged. And I thought it was really, really helpful and beneficial to have been able to do that tour. He wanted to know where that recycled water was going. Is it being used in his congressional district? What about the pure water? All of those things. And so I think it really sets the stage for future asks of him. So, and I thought it was really nice, engaging congressman too. The state lobby preparation meeting, that was a really good meeting. I thought we had a really good presentation and story to tell. I didn't get to go on the trip, but I thought it was really a really good packet that you guys had put together. Cal DESEL Executive Committee, we had a debrief on the conference that just concluded, and it was a very successful conference, really well attended, and probably the best attended conference that they've had, and it was financially successful, and so it was just really good. One piece of information I learned at that meeting that you may already be aware of, but in June, or by June, the end of June of this year, there will be a draft report by the State Water Board, the Coastal Commission, DWR, that will be looking at siting criteria for siting study for future desal plants in the state, and really developing criteria and standards for them to evaluate facilities and where those could potentially lie to kind of help frame and expedite the process going forward. So that's something that, just to pay attention to. And just a good update with our general manager earlier this week. are my updates.
Very good. Thank you for that. Director Corona.
Okay. The EMWD, Rancho California Water District Ad Hoc Committee, typical meeting, filled in Rancho with what's going on at Eastern and what's going on with Metropolitan. Rancho California Water District Board meeting. Two items on there. They did a water supply assessment that was approved, although Director Hoagland voted against it with concerns that Metropolitan would not be able to provide water for future developments. Concerns about getting cyclic water in the future. They were a little excited about that one, too. And, of course, the yesterday's Board of Supervisors Water Champion Award was a very, very nice, very, very nice presentation. And Board of Supervisors, I believe, really appreciated it. It was a great, great award for them. So that's all I have.
All right. Very good. Thank you. I had a usual good manager meeting with the general manager, discussed various district items, participated in the water master audit discussion with the auditors, and all seems well there. WRCOG, general meeting, the only interesting thing of note is this year their speaker at their annual meeting is going to be Doris Kearns Goodwin, who's a presidential historian, was announced. I had a good meeting with Laura talking about some of our customer service things going on and discussions on call centers and stuff. So that is always, always appreciated. IE Works board meeting, participated in that. I got elected as the new vice president of IE Works. And again, in Sacramento with Assemblyman Corey Jackson. He was very interested in the district and our youth training programs and being part of IE Works. Director Armstrong noted an excellent preparation day. It is always best to go to Sacramento or Washington, D.C., well-versed on what we're going to talk about. I thought, as Joe mentioned, the day went really, really well. And our lobbying team up there, in my opinion, are first class. Pacall just does a fantastic job for the district and really had things organized. But the story we told, as I just mentioned, we now have all freshman legislators in the assembly for the most part in Riverside County, and explaining our district to them and noting that we're the largest water district in Riverside County. But Joe did a fantastic job talking about such things as energy costs and other things to them, and then briefing them on the IE Works and the programs we did to help our customers during the pandemic was very helpful to people who probably have not heard of Eastern before. So I think that was good, building a lot of goodwill with our members of our legislature. Again, we had a virtual with Assemblymember Garcia, who represents the French Valley portion of our district. It's one of the stranger assembly districts. He represents Blythe. He represents Needles. He represents all of Imperial County. And he represents French Valley, where I happen to reside. So I do want to build a relationship with him and make sure he's, from my understanding, he is interested in a lot of things we're doing, so that will be good. Him at San Jacinto Water Master meeting went well with a couple glitches, but we had a thorough discussion on virtual attendance, which ended, I believe, this morning. Is that correct, Mr. Legal Counsel? Well, we have some new rules starting March 1st.
Well, the governor's emergency order expired yesterday.
Yes, but it was in place on Monday. Yeah. Very good. So, good meeting. And then, as Joe mentioned, good meeting with Chief Weiser. And I was happy to kind of facilitate and put that together. As you remember, when we honored our employees who worked on the recent fire in the Hemet Hills, he came out and spoke and at that time mentioned to me, hey, I want to build a better relation with Eastern because we have some needs. You guys have our main firefighting antidote, which is water. And so I thought that was good, Joe, and I hope we can continue. And again, can work with us on some other things. So I thought that was a very good meeting. And thank you, Joe, for making yourself available for that. I appreciate it very much. Director Record.
Yes. January 5th, Metropolitan Water briefing meeting, and hopefully I'm getting enough contact with you, Jeff, that I'm, you know, you'll reach out to me if I'm not giving.
I will.
Okay. A dedication ceremony at Lake Matthews, January 12th, for Don Galliano and Lois Krieger. It was a very nice event. MWD did a very nice job on that, very well attended. A monthly update with general manager, always good. I did not attend the MWD Rancho California ad hoc committee meeting because I was in Sacramento on the 6th and 7th with Monday morning group. I sent a email to Joe outlining who I met with, and I thought they were very productive meetings. Laura Rowden from Western and I spent the 2 days together going to different places. I also had the opportunity to meet with Carla Nemeth of DWR and Jennifer Pierre of State Water Project. And we had a very good meeting with Didi Diamato of the State Board. We had another MET discussion prior to the retreat, another general manager discussion, which I appreciate. Community leaders tour. I had the opportunity to get on a C-17 at March Air Reserve Base and travel to Fairchild up in Washington and watch refueling of the plane on the way up. It was an excellent opportunity for one-on-one discussion with the base commander, and I let him know how important March is to us and, you know, how appreciative we are of the funds that we've been able to get and the progress that we're making on the Paris groundwater issues. Cost of service discussion, because I've missed every meeting so far this year. I appreciate staff taking the time to brief me on what you guys have already talked about and cost of service. So, and I do want to express my appreciation for the board for allowing me to spend more personal time this year. And that's probably going to continue, but I do like being here, and I'll be here every opportunity that I can.
Very good. Thank you. And I always liked it. Having you here, I think, raises the entire board on the knowledge of water and what goes on in the state. So always appreciative. With that, director's comments or future agenda items? And we have several. Director Sloss. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped
my
over.
My comments have to do with past meetings I've gone to.
Okay. The floor is yours. I apologize.
Yes. I attended SAPA, and we decided to support the solid water crisis program that's Western sort of leading, and discussed electronic signatures. We're going to allow those now in contracts, et cetera. Had a discussion on the draft budget for OWOW and roundtable funding, and discussed AB 2424 on remote meetings. Attended the Chamber of Commerce meeting, and there were presentations from the school, et cetera. Also, Adam, I forget his last name, he works for the gas company, he's a representative, he came here one time. He got up and apologized to everyone for the gas rates. And I did not attend the, by the way, we are sponsoring next month's Wake Up Breakfast for the Chamber. And did not attend the county supervisor's meeting yesterday. That's it.
Very good. Thank you for that. You were missed yesterday. Supervisor Gutierrez, I think, told me personally that he missed you from being there. So, now, director's comments or future agenda items. Director Record?
Well, just a comment that Director Slauson was talking about La Nina, and it really hasn't turned out that way. And I'm just an observation that my effective date of retirement from MET was December 31st, and it's pretty much rain and snow ever since then. And so, anyway, I think maybe I should have done that sooner. Just an observation.
Very good. With that, I will ask legal counsel if we need to have a closed session today.
We do, Mr. Chair, pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, as identified in Item 10A.
Very good. Are we going to do closed session in this room?
Yes, we will.
Okay, we will take a five-minute break to switch over to closed session.
Okay.
All right, Stephen, I'd like to report out of... I'm sorry, we're back in open session, and I'd like legal counsel to please report out of closed session.
Thank you, President Pauly. The board met pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 to discuss exposure to litigation as described in Item 10A. Reports were given to the board. No formal action was taken. That concludes my closed session report.
Very good. With that, we will stand adjourned until March 15th at 9 o'clock.